This Rock Talk podcast recording is an interview and opinion product that is the property of rocksubculture.com, all rights reserved. Rocksubculture.com is not responsible for any statements or opinions expressed by the guests of this program. Welcome to Rock Talk, the official podcast for rocksubculture.com. Each podcast features interviews with special guests to discuss all aspects of popular music. rocksubculture.com travels the globe to experience, review, and archive live concert events. Interview those involved in producing and performing a variety of genres of popular rock music, as well as find and learn about related studio and stage-used artifacts and memorabilia. Now, let's join our host, Jason DeBoard.
Happens.
So are you guys okay if I put this audio recording as a podcast on my website?
Yeah, it's all good.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck that is. Yeah, I guess so.
All right, so first thing I wanted to ask you guys about is you seem to be very collaborative artists. And is that just something like that's part of your personality, or is it just translated into like doing music? Because you guys have worked with so many different artists.
I'm trying to... trying to comprehend that. Say that one more time.
So you, it seems like you guys work with a lot of different people. And some artists are very solitary and they just kind of do their own thing, but you guys seem to work with different artists, different music genres. Like, you work with a lot of different people. And I'm just wondering, like, is that part of your personality? Like, before you even got into the music business, were you always, you know, friends with a lot of people, hanging out with people, and then that kind of translates into art, or is that different?
That has a lot to do with artists here. Like, if you a hot artist at the time, or if a certain artist feels like they're in the same vein with you, they want to do a record with you. But most of the time, it's because your name hot and somebody trying to eat off your plate.
Yeah.
It's most of it.
And then you guys have also done a lot of work in film and television. Is that something you ever thought you'd do before you got into the music industry, or did it just sort of happen that way?
Your answer, just sort of happened.
Yeah.
Just happened.
For me, yeah.
And is it something you enjoy, or is it more like a career thing where, you know?
It depends. Like, if you got one of those cool directors, it's always fun. If the cast is cool, it's fun. The grips are cool. But then every now and then you get them dickheads, and they make every fucking shoot, every day of the shoot, just stressful as fuck. And I've learned that when you play certain characters, you got to get that stink off you before you go home, because
Well, The Wire is actually my all-time favorite
I used to love going to that set every day.
Well, I thought your character was really interesting, because if not for the episode with the dog, like, it seemed like all the characters had
their moment.
Yeah, and they were multi-dimensional. I mean, you, regardless of what they did, they're real people. And I thought yours, you know, you didn't really get that until that episode.
He's such an asshole. I think they wanted to give me more stuff, but my schedule was just horrible at that time.
And what did you think of the last episode, the way you went out?
You know, he had to go, but the thing about that was when David first did it, David Simon, the writer, my dialogue was like maybe two lines.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, Dave, five seasons, brother. Like, really? No, as a matter of fact, four seasons. I'm like, I can't go out like that. And he's such a good dude. He's so in tune with everything that he beefed it up for me. Gave me a nice long get the fuck out of here speech.
Yeah.
It was nice.
I loved it.
Very nice.
And then talking about dogs, I read that Cesar Millan has taking care of your dog a lot and has like a special relationship with him.
Yeah.
You do your verse to that, right? You get a verse to that, right? Yeah, Cesar Millan, that's been my boy since maybe like 98.
Yeah.
So all that dog whisper shit like he was on the show with, like I knew that back in 98, 99. And I'm just glad he blew up. Like, you know, my dog was a part of it. they both work well together. If my dog would have stayed with me, he would have been cracked out. He wouldn't have been a star like he was. That was just a good move for him. I don't want to be selfish.
Everybody loved that damn dog, too. Boy, Daddy was famous.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you about the kinds of music that you blend into what you make. And one of those elements is funk. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always loved funk. Why do you think it's always sort of not really blown up, you know? Like, do you think it's just something that's come and gone and some people still draw from it? Because to me, it has just such a different feeling and vibe.
A lot of people weren't, wasn't a big movement on funk too much. It was only a couple of dudes that was doing funk, like Dre and E and
Warren G.
Yeah, that whole camp over there. I mean, wasn't too many people doing funk, so it ain't spread like it did. But when a person do it on an album or do it, it's really authentic and people can appreciate it. It's not done a lot, so.
You guys do a lot of live shows. What's the difference for you, like, as an artist, playing live versus doing stuff in the studio and just making new work?
I like going in the studio. The live shit, it start to wear on you after a while, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, a new city every night, not enough rest, food's horrible. But the actual shows are always good, but like I said, it wears on you after a while.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have to put out so much energy.
Yeah, that too. That becomes a pain in the ass at times too, especially when the crowd's not giving you even a quarter of that energy back.
Yeah, so you definitely vibe with the crowd and that affects what you do. Yeah.
Well, we vibe with each other more than anything else and hope that they catch on somewhere along the line. You know?
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Is there any new music coming out today that you guys are really into, that you really are excited about, that other people are doing?
Yeah, some, but I'm not mentioning any names. They be waiting for niggas to get drop too, boy. Yeah, it's something.
Yeah, it's a couple of new artists too, man. They doing some good work out there, man.
Yeah.
There's a couple of new artists doing some good work out there, yo. Not too many, but it's some. Some new cat. Matter of fact, like I've been saying, man, that hardcore shit is coming back around. Even the young crowd.
Yeah,
or now, or just coming back around. Like, yo, like, I ain't gonna lie, like, I can appreciate that nigga Joey Badass. He a dope dude. He got that 90s sound, and he's winning on it right now.
Yeah.
And I appreciate his authenticity on that, man.
Authenticity.
Yes, whatever. Say it. And a couple of other cats, man, like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. I could appreciate their talent, man, on how it's branching off with everybody. Just not one sound trying to get on the radio. They putting albums together.
Yeah.
And a couple of other dudes out there too, man. So.
Well, that's my other question. What do you think of how the music industry is now, where everything's very single driven and the albums, like, people buy singles? And it seems like albums are
I like
kind of
Gunplay
going away.
Too. Gunplay is my dude too. He's a funny dude. I like it. I like his style too, yo.
Yeah. The music business hasn't adjusted yet to the new era or new generation, because they're a download nation, so nobody actually goes into the store anymore and buys albums. They just, you know, pick and choose which songs they want. So how do you combat that? You go on the road.
Yeah.
And you present it in a package that's, you present it to them, you know, like someone who's doing a showcase of their shit, like a new artist doing a showcase where they come on and they're performing for just big wigs and shit like that, so they can see the product.
Yeah,
that's what it's turning into now. I don't think anybody really goes platinum or triple or shit like that unless you're a rock and roll star, because those white kids buy every fucking thing. They do.
Do you guys have like a favorite decade of music that you think was like just a real awesome decade?
70s. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
70s and 80s.
Yeah. Because you're like 41, right?
42.
Okay, we're almost the same age. I'm 40, so.
Yeah. I'm up there, baby.
What about you?
I'm 45.
45?
No, he ain't no damn 45.
45, don't listen to that.
You look young.
He's 42.
45, brother.
What, he's the same age as me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Man, he may be a little younger and shit, yeah. He may look a little younger, but he older than me.
So what do you guys think about coming out to a festival like this, like way out?
I was cool with it. I was cool with it, but they didn't even put our fucking name on the flyer, so fuck them. We gonna go out there and perform for the people, but fuck them. We couldn't even rate to get on the flyer and shit. You got Nas on there, Cypress Hill, Nelly Furtado, a bunch of motherfuckers. Some artists I never even heard of before. And you couldn't slide a Red Man and Method
Man. We're not on there, not even one bit.
They got the lineup on there. They ain't got us on there. And you know, we are on there. We're with and more. You know, that's where we're at and more.
Well, I've been here all week, and I found it's a really different musical culture here. Because, like in the U.S., people come to festivals and they watch the whole thing, and it seems like here, people come in and out, and they're just watching like one artist. Like, it doesn't seem like there's that appetite to get exposed to new music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's changing.
And that's what you said. Seeing out here.
Mm-hmm.
That is changing. These kids, this new generation, they're into singles, not albums.
Yeah.
So they'll stay for one song, well, that's my song, and then they'll probably go over here and check that shit.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting to me is the younger generation, they might not even know who the artist is. They just know that song titles. You know what I mean?
But I was the same way. Even in the 70s, I know songs, but I don't actually know the artist.
Yeah.
So when I watch shows like Unsung, I'm like, oh shit, I didn't know he sang that. Yeah. And plus, you got so many fucking remakes, hip-hop remakes and reggae remakes. You can't even tell who's the original song maker anymore.
Yeah.
Is
there any, like, pop culture stuff that excites you guys nowadays, like, even outside of music, like film, television, anything? Like, kind of what's your view on entertainment today, you know? Just
mean,
too
pop?
Busy. Just anything. Just pop culture, like film, television, music.
I get overwhelmed. Everything's too cluttered now. It's too much shit.
Yeah.
Way too much shit going on.
Information overload.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, I think like when we were growing up in the 80s, there wasn't as much out there. So it's like things had time to breathe and artists had time to be known.
If you want to have fun, your ass actually had to go outside.
Yeah.
That type of thing. I get it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, times are different.
Yeah.
The world is very different.
I mean, we didn't have internet back then.
Yeah.
Well, only source of sight was you had to come out to see the artist.
Right.
Or come to the record store.
And half the time, you didn't even know what the artist looked like.
That's right.
You just heard records on the radio and didn't know what they looked like. And most of the time, for me, most of them niggas was ugly. Word out. They ain't look like they voices and shit. You know what I mean? It's like,
so
niggas
MTV,
is ugly,
right?
Man. All right, niggas is ugly niggas, man. I thought you had to be ugly to be an MC for a minute, man. What a bro. Niggas was ugly, man.
So were there any shows you went to, like, when you're pretty young that you look back on and think it was a pretty epic moment for you, like, as a kid to see, like, a certain artist or...
Naughty by Nature.
Naughty by Nature?
Yeah, that was my first one.
Yeah,
it was Queen Latifah was the opening act. Then Kid and Play was supposed to perform. They did perform, actually. We're doing an interview, yeah. It was Will Smith was supposed to come. He never showed up. But then Naughty came on, blew that shit up. I don't know how Public Enemy even went on after them because most of the crowd was leaving.
Yeah.
And I stuck around to CP.
My first show was Rakim and Big Daddy Kane and Biz Markie.
Yeah.
What, in matter of fact, in Long Island, what's that Coliseum?
Nassau Coliseum.
Nassau Coliseum, yeah.
Yeah.
I went there to see him, man. Yeah, and it was fucking fabulous because I didn't get the only place I knew in New York was Uptown. And I got to really step out. Like, I was like 17, 18 or some shit like that. I got to really step out past the city and go to Nassau Coliseum and see, you know, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane.
Coliseum was the lick, though.
Yeah, man. Niggas was getting poked up in there.
Yeah, I grew up in Long Island, so Coliseum, you know, the Islanders played there. WWF used to come there all the time. The Harlem Globetrotters used to come there all the time, so I was in there a lot.
Yeah, cool. Well, I know you guys got a lot more interviews to go, so...
I didn't kiss my ass. Straight up. Fucking festival dudes couldn't even put our name on the goddamn fly. I've been doing this shit 20 years. Everybody up there can't say that shit. 20 motherfucking years. We deserve better than that.
Thank you for listening to our program, Rock Talk. For the latest gig archives, articles, and features about popular music and concert events around the world, please visit us online at www.rocksubculture.com.
Say Moose Busters.